This is the Reynolds School Media Watch on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik with Al Stavitsky, the Dean of the Reynolds School of Journalism here at the University of Nevada, Reno. And welcome, Al.
Always good to be here.
Today, we're talking about, well, late-night television. When David Letterman signs off his last CBS late-night show this month, it marks the complete changing of the guard in late-night television. And David Letterman is the current topic, but there's some recent history. Let's start there.
Well, David Letterman is the bridge from the glory days of late night television, notably Johnny Carson, to the current age of late night television, in which the late night show is really just one platform. When you look at some of the current late night hosts, notably Fallon and Kimmel, much of
Jimmy and Jimmy by
the two Jimmies, what they are about these days is producing skits that go viral on the internet, and it often seems that the show is almost an afterthought. So in that environment, I mean, David Letterman really is the bridge and sets us up for this brave new era of late night.
David Letterman has had his own antics and various crazy stunts and things over a long period of time, and that goes back to Johnny Carson. He had a lot of crazy skits and stunts. But what's different now? What's changing the recipe for late night television?
Well, I think what's historically significant about Letterman is Letterman started the transition from the traditional Johnny Carson model and his predecessors of the house band, the monologue, and then the interviews with celebrity guests. Part of why Letterman had to make that change was when he first had a late night talk show in 1982 on NBC, and he was following Johnny Carson, who was then at his peak at The Tonight Show. Carson's people did not want the follow-up show to be a model of what Carson was doing. So they said, no house band, and you can't do anything that's anything like what Carson was doing. So Letterman had to innovate by necessity, and so he created the top 10 lists and the stupid pet tricks, and that sensibility that Letterman became known for. And that then was what the next generation, the two Jimmies, Fallon and Kimmel and Conan O'Brien and the other talk shows, then Jon Stewart and Colbert and the ones who've come after that, they really were influenced perhaps more by Letterman's sensibility than by Johnny Carson.
Why in this era of internet and 24/7 digital media, why is late night television still even relevant in this conversation?
Well, I think the reason that late night television is still relevant is because it feeds the internet, it feeds all those other platforms, it feeds social media, and it really is now a source of content. And so people now, they hear the buzz about what was on Kimmel and Fallon and Conan the night before, and they go to the internet to get that. You know, that's sort of the water cooler moment today, whereas, you know, back eons ago in our day, you know, you might say to someone, hey, did you see Carson last night? You know, he did an interesting bit on Carnac or Aunt Blabby or something like that. But if you missed it, it was gone. And so what was significant back then, David, was that, you know, the show was intended to generate future viewing of the show. It's like, I better watch Carson tonight because, you know, I couldn't participate in the conversation because I missed it last night. Well, nowadays, if you missed Fallon or you missed Kimmel last night, you can watch it online and you can pick up the best bits off of social media. So really the significance of late night television these days is not in terms of the large audiences that it produces, because the audiences are just a fraction of what they were back in the glory days when Carson was doing the show and there were only a handful of channel choices. But rather, these now are viral sensations in many cases, and they may drive traffic back to the web and to YouTube, And that's almost as significant today as driving traffic to watch the show.
Every generation has had its late night talk show host on since television has come along, and Johnny Carson being the most famous, but Jack Parr before him. Is this different in a lot of ways than just the generational changing of the guard? This is a technological and a cultural changing of the guard this time around?
Absolutely, because back then it was must-see TV, and now it's must-see content. But you're seeing it on a whole variety of different platforms. So what's happening in late night is really a microcosm of today's digital age.
And this is the Reynolds School Media Watch on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. David Stipik with Al Stavitsky, the dean of the Reynolds School of Journalism. And we're discussing the changes in late night network television primarily. But let's ask about that. Is that something that's just on the networks, or are other late night cable networks and others experimenting, trying to find a solution for late night viewers?
Well, the cable channels have been trying to develop their own equivalents, and Conan O'Brien's show is probably the most significant version of that. You see things happening on some of the sports channels as well. They're trying to do things in late night that are edgy and have that same kind of sensibility, and therefore could compete with Fallon and Kimmel. But for the most part, this really is a phenomenon, I think, still of broadcast television.
And with people like Fallon obviously representing a much more youthful presence, a much more kind of off the cuff, off the wall, these little snippets, these little game shows he does, is that just because of the internet, or is that actually also attracting a younger viewer back to television in some ways?
Well, television is always seeking that younger demographic that they can offer up to advertisers. And so there's a real interest in attracting a younger audience to those late night shows, both for the purposes of keeping your television ratings high and therefore what you can charge for the television ads, but also because it continues then to connect younger consumers, I'll say, rather than viewers in the traditional television sense, because they tend to be far less loyal to established brands. So therefore, if you can get these audience members, younger people who are attracted to NBC products, and maybe when they're downloading the clip from the Fallon show last night, then they'll see a little promo of an upcoming NBC series. And maybe, just maybe, you can drag them to actually watch the television and perhaps buoy your ratings for the primetime broadcast schedule.
So there's been a whole host of players. You mentioned Conan O'Brien, who at one point was related to the NBC shuffle. And then there was Jay Leno, and he was in and he was out, and now you've got Jimmy Fallon there. And in the late slot was Craig Ferguson. Looked like he was going to step in when David Letterman, but no, that didn't work out, and now it's going to be Stephen Colbert. What do all these changes, is it just really trying to find the right sticky personality primarily now for these shows versus that entertainer and kind of the old role of entertainer? What's going on?
Well, that's where I think the Stephen Colbert experiment is going to be very, very interesting, because Colbert does not fit the traditional late night host kind of role, which is someone who was successful in stand-up, somebody who's known for doing these sorts of skits.
Interviews for celebrities and all the rest of that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas Colbert, has become very successful with his kind of blustery Bill O'Reilly parody and following in the footsteps of his mentor, Jon Stewart. So it will be interesting to see how versatile Colbert can be and how much he is able to broaden his appeal as the successor to David Letterman. But the bottom line is it really requires a very specific kind of entertainer with a real special talent to succeed in those kinds of shows. You see the same phenomenon in afternoon television, where so many people have tried to be the next Oprah and have that kind of success. And really, other than Ellen DeGeneres, nobody has gotten much traction. It's a very specific skill set, and it'll be fascinating to see how Colbert does.
So let's just end this conversation with what is the future for late night television, networks or otherwise? Where is this going? What's going to happen next?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, because you know, broadcast television is in such tremendous flux, as we've talked about in other segments here, and now you have the Netflixes and the Amazons and the YouTubes that are seen as very viable video providers, and now people are watching on their tablets and their smartphones. And so really the future of broadcast television as a platform for appointment viewing and linear schedules is very much in flux. So perhaps it would not be surprising if we stop thinking about late night television as discrete content that you watch late at night, but rather as a sort of culture, as a vibe that you can pick up over the internet anytime.
And I could see some of the younger consumers late night hanging out, turning on the TV for some random reason and saying, oh, look at this, the stuff we saw on the internet earlier today, it's actually on TV here late nights. I had no idea.
Who knew?
The last day for Letterman again is
May 20th.
Well, stay tuned. Always something interesting in the media, especially on network television these days. Well, thanks very much. This is the Reynolds School Media Watch on Beyond the Headlines. I'm Kay Winard, General Manager David Stipik. Been visiting again with Al Stavitsky, the Dean of the Reynolds School of Journalism at the University of Nevada, Reno. Always interesting, Al, to talk about television and media and journalism with you. And thanks so much for sharing your insights once again.
Anytime.
And thanks for listening to KUNR.